This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Welcome to the Christian War Room, and thank you, Dad, for this introduction there. Okay, very important subject today, and I mention this very often. I'm a sucker for Christian television sometimes, and I have to say, though, I used to, over here in Britain, we have to buy a TV license, and we have to pay about £150-160 for the TV license if you watch live TV. A few years ago, when I was unemployed, and let me think how many years ago that is. I think that's coming up to about 5 years now. It's quite a long time ago now. I was made redundant from work, and money was getting a little bit tighter. I was picking up little contracts here and there, so, you know, not having fixed employment. I was sort of traveling all over to sort of try and deal with these contracts, and I decided at the time to not renew my TV license and just to see how it goes. So first I had the satellite contract, which went, and then I didn't renew the TV license as well. And so there are a couple of reasons. Number one is I didn't see the relevance. I came to the conclusion that when I watched satellite, there was just a lot of stuff I wasn't really interested in, a lot of stuff that didn't really concern me. And I decided it's no point to just keeping it up. So I let that one go. And then later, when I looked at all the stuff that was broadcasted on public and private television, I came to the conclusion that most of it is rubbish. It's just propaganda. And I don't really want to watch it. And I don't want to support it as well with my money. So I decided to just cut it off. And one unfortunate thing was that I couldn't watch Christian television either at the point when it was cut off. So that meant the 14 Christian TV channels we had, I couldn't really sort of keep up to track with the stuff that was going on there. At the time, I was quite horrified. I think out of the 14 channels, the number of decent programs I saw, I think there was only about one or two decent channels. and a lot of the other stuff was just about hype. It was, some of it was just downright heretical. And it was just horrible, really horrible. It was sort of an embarrassment almost when you looked at some of the programs which were aired. I don't want to go into too much detail, but I could sort of see the commercial aspect, the constant drive to ask for money. I do understand, having worked in the media industry myself and sort of tried to run a business, how hard it is to try and get the money together. But then on the other side, an outreach for Jesus Christ should not be an outreach into your wallet primarily. And this is sometimes how it felt, that people were just trying to reach into my wallet to try and take as much out of it as possible with empty promises of blessings and all sorts of other stuff if I would only give them lots and lots and lots of money. And some channels were quite blatant about the whole thing, and it was almost embarrassing. It just seemed like a scam or a ripoff, and it's pretty bad. Anyway, so now what I tend to do is I use YouTube for entertainment, and I try, it's a different way, I try to look for stuff I'm interested in rather than the TV people telling me what I should watch. So I normally have like little projects which interest me, and I sort of watch programs around it, and I relax a little bit and also learn at the same time. So that's really what I'm doing now for entertainment. And I don't pay my TV license, and I don't have to because I'm not watching live television anymore. Okay, so YouTube came up, and they came up with this guy. And it was something about wealth transfer. I haven't heard anything because I didn't look for it. Anything from the prosperity gospel for a long time. And I thought, let's check him out, you know, see what he has to say and see, you know, whether there's going to be this big appeal for money and so on. Anyway, I won't mention his name. It was a preacher. I checked him out later. I'd never heard of him before. I checked him out later, apparently some time ago. I'm not sure whether it was the 90s or somewhere. He was involved in a huge revival campaign somewhere in the southern parts of the United States. I don't want to narrow it down any further, but he was apparently quite a famous guy. Big revival, again, not everything people call revival, I would call revival. And, you know, big church, lots of people following him, big name in evangelical Christianity. And this is what he had to say. So he was talking about the coming wealth transfer. And I thought, what? You know, wealth transfer. And he made a big point about this. And then he, obviously, you have to undermine it with scripture. And he said all the right things. You know, you need to, you know, God has told him. This is the thing. Number one, God, the Holy Spirit, both have told him that the big wealth transfer is about to take place. Yeah. Then we get like a bunch of scriptures, mostly the Old Testament, which were, you know, blessings related to the nation of Israel. And he related them to the individual, you know, who would accept his message. I have to give it to him. There was no appeal at the end. Normally when these guys come up right at the end, there's this big, you know, push for money, give us your money, and then the big wealth transfer will come to you. And there was a big emphasis on debt relief. Yeah, you know, so credit card debt ran up, and God is going to relieve your credit card debt. But he said there's something going on. There's going to be the big wealth transfer in society. Now, I have to say that at that point, and this is what we are doing here, Christian War Room, we need to look at this stuff, you know, to see whether there is anything to it. Yeah. You know, whether we can accept messages of this caliber. And I don't care. That's me, myself, and I. And please check me out on this. Yeah, don't take my word for it. Everything I say here in the war room, check it out. Make sure it's within the Bible. It's within a biblical context. But I don't care. I'm not a respecter of persons. And I'm probably the guy who always likes to go against the stream. So if nobody jumps in the water, I'm the one that jumps in. If everybody jumps in, I'm probably the one who doesn't jump in. And deep down, I'm a rebel. So I see these guys and in me, something comes up. And sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes it's not very good to be a rebel. But it's nothing wrong with questioning things and with just looking at what people are saying, not putting people on a pedestal, but really kind of checking out. What are these guys saying? What is really the message they are portraying? And what are we supposed to take from this? Yeah. So it's very, very important that we do this and that we've got people who don't respect people. And I didn't know this guy. I thought, oh, he's just another deceiver who has come up and who is preaching the prosperity gospel, you know, preaching a different type of gospel. And it was quite interesting to actually listen to him. It wasn't quite that extreme, and there wasn't the money push at the end of it. So I don't need to give money to him to be part of this wealth transfer. All I have to do, I just have to believe in it, and then it'll happen. You know, I have to believe God that this wealth transfer is going to happen, and then the checks will come through the letterbox, and everything will be fine. Right, okay. And then tons of scriptures from the Old Testament. Yeah. And there are some scriptures which, you know, turn to Israel, that God is going to bless them, that God is going to bring prosperity to them, and so on. Okay, I want to talk about this wealth transfer from the rich to the poor. And I want to talk about the premise which is, you know, suggested or dealt with by this guy. And where do we stand with the New Testament? Okay. I'm not going to quote tons and tons of scripture to you. I'm just going to sort of talk you through, and I leave it to you to pick it up. I'm going to mention the books, and if you want to check it out, go to BibleGateway.com, put in the scriptures, and they'll come up, and you can just look for the book and then pick up those scriptures. And I recommend to you to do this as well. We've only got a very short time, so I don't want to, you know, quote a lot of scriptures. We first start off with the Sermon on the Mount, you know, where Jesus talks about you know, about worrying about things in daily life. And he just makes a point, and he says, look, you know, God knows about all your needs. You know, he feeds the animals, you know, in the wild who do not reap or sow or reap, but God feeds them nevertheless. You know, he dresses the lilies in the field in great glory, and he knows that you need to eat, and that you need to, you know, that you need your food and everything else. And therefore, what he says is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So what we're going to seek is not the wealth, We don't believe in the wealth transfer, but we're going to seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Yeah. Whatever God places on your heart, do it first and do it wholeheartedly and spend time with the living God, spend time with his word, spend time, you know, praying, spend time, you know, exposing yourself to the things of God and learn about God, seek God, and whatever God places on your heart, pursue it. Yeah. That's really what it's all about. And then the righteousness of the kingdom of God is in Jesus Christ. We need to be covered by his blood. We need to walk in perpetual repentance of trying to do the right thing and staying away from the bad thing, so that we are righteous before the living God. Righteous because of the blood of Christ, righteous because we are aiming and we are striving for a holy walk in life. That is really what this is all about. Yeah. And all these things, Jesus is talking about clothing and food. Yeah. Basically, the essentials of life will be added unto you. You will have your car if you need one. You will have your bicycle. You will have your house if you need one. You will have everything you need to try and make it. I'm going to tell you some anecdotal stuff. I've been through both. I've been through abject poverty. And I've been through riches where I could just buy nice little trinkets and gadgets, and I didn't have to think about it because the money was just there. So I've been through that. I've been through the jet set lifestyle, and I've been through the lifestyle where I had to repair my car, and I was shot in my eyes because I had to weld up my cars, and I didn't have the right equipment, and I couldn't afford it, and if I didn't do it, I wouldn't be able to drive a car, and I needed one. Yeah, so I've been through both of it. I've been through the point where I really had to pray about the food on my table and being able to cook something for myself, to where I could just walk into a restaurant and eat something and I never had to worry about it. I know in both, and I can tell you that you see God reveal himself sometimes much more vividly in the times when you are poor than in the times when you've got plenty. It's really interesting when you see this. I mean, I was for a period of about 10 years, I was just driving old racks, and they did break down, but they never broke down that they left me in an awkward position. They always broke down, you know, big breakdowns right outside my doorstep, yeah, so I could just push the car in or I was nearby. I never was in an awkward position, never was in an awkward moment, but things just worked out and things were fine. Okay, back to the Word of God. Yeah, right, wealth transfer. Yeah? The wealth of the rich is going to the saints. Yeah, that's pretty much what this guy was saying. There's a scripture where Paul says that some believe that godliness is a means of gain. Yeah? Godliness is a means of gain. I think it's in Timothy of Thessalonians, right about there. And some believe this, yeah. Some believe this. And obviously, does he refer to money or not? And the next verse, it says that Paul says, we cannot take anything into this world, and we surely will not take anything out of this world. And we should be happy if we've got enough to eat and clothing. Yeah, if our needs are met, basically. That's what Paul is saying. And again, you know, that is pretty much the message we've got there. Then we've got Revelation, and this is the other thing which really came to me. And my friends, we are in the last days. Yeah? Our treasure should not be here on earth, it should be in heaven. We should be focused on heaven to build up our treasures in heaven. How do we build up our treasures in heaven? And that is if we concern ourselves about the kingdom of God. If we spend time with the Lord, if we spend time to do the things of the Lord, if we seek finance not to buy another boat or the big shiny car or, you know, the big fancy house or whatever it is, but if we seek to work, and the Bible is very clear, you know, work, if you don't work, don't eat. We seek to work with our hands or with whatever gift we have, with a view to be giving people, not to enrich ourselves, not to indulge ourselves, but to be giving people so that we can help others who are maybe in more severe need. So that we can invest in the kingdom of God and maybe, you know, buy a bunch of tracts or buy a few Bibles which you give away. Buy some USB sticks where you put lots of Christian materials on and you just give them to somebody. Something like that, yeah. buy some gospel coins, scatter them all over, whatever it is. But you should sort of be living with a mindset of investing into the kingdom of God, you know, helping out those who are in need, of giving. Yeah? If you make money with your, you know, with your work and everything, you know, do it with a giving heart. And obviously this is in the family as well. You look after your kids, you look after your, you know, your wider family, make sure that they are okay. And you go through life and you build, you invest in doing so in your heavenly home. You know, Jesus says this, yeah. Why do you spend money on stuff, yeah, that thieves can steal and, you know, rust and moth and everything? So what's the point in doing that? Why don't you invest into the better stuff, into heaven? Another thing which comes to mind is Laodicea. Laodicea was a church, and it was quite interesting. Jesus was on the outside, but the church was rich. They had it all. They had it all. They were just okay. If you read a little bit up about Laodicea was, I've looked at the ruins of all the seven churches which are mentioned in Revelation. And it's really interesting. With Laodicea, you can see sort of the promenade. And they had a they were on a trading route, if I remember right. And they were very rich. Everything was fine. They had it, you know. And probably, you know, the Christians who were living there in Laodicea, they were probably right on the gravy train, and they were taking it, you know. They had it all. They had lots of money. They didn't need to worry about it. They didn't have any struggles in life, you know. They just walked, you know, on the end of the week along the promenade, and they showed off the latest clothing, the women, the latest hairdo, the men, the latest chariot. I don't know, whatever they had, but everything was fine. Everything was okay. And Jesus said, look, I'm on the outside. You know, you better buy some ointment for your eyes so that you can see. You think you're rich, but you're wretched and poor. This is what God was saying. And there's a big danger. If you've got lots of stuff, yeah. I remember there was once my friend's wife, and they're both dead now, but they sort of had a very middle-class type of life. And they, you know, had a lot of houses and sort of a very wealthy kind of lifestyle. They were very good, you know. They were very, very, you know, well-to-do. Nice people, no doubt about it. I loved them to bits, and very gentle as well. But there was this element of middle class, yeah. Like everything was fine, everything was okay. And I once mentioned this point, and I said, oh, it must be nice to be, you know, comfortable to have all these houses so you can rent them out and, you know, have some additional revenue and stuff like that. And the lady, she made a comment, and she said, the problem is not owning those houses. The problem is, or, you know, the good thing is not owning the houses, but the problem is that the houses tend to own you, and they tie you down. Yeah? You worry about them and so on. And it stuck with me. It's interesting as well. I mean, I've spent a lot of time with them, but there are certain statements which sometimes when you spend time with people, they just stick with you and you think about them. And this was one of those statements where I had to think about it. They had it all, but yet, you know, it was a burden to them. It was a burden to them. It didn't make them any happier, even though it probably represented quite a bit of security, but it was difficult. So, the wealth transfer, huh? What's happening with the wealth transfer? What's happening with the wealth transfer? First of all, nowhere in the New Testament do we find anything like that. There's no suggestion about making riches, about, you know, being the bee's knees and taking over the world through the money we make and so on. There's nothing there. And nothing. From Matthew to Revelation, it's nowhere. And on the contrary, when we look at the disciples weren't incredibly rich. Jesus was de facto homeless when he was traveling around. He had nowhere to stay. This is what he said. I said, Lord, you know, I want to come with you. Where do you stay? And he says, the birds have got nests, and but the Son of Man has got nowhere to lay his head. So Jesus was traveling around, and he was, don't know, I no idea. The Bible doesn't talk about it. There's just a suggestion that he didn't have a place to go, that he didn't go from hotel to hotel, but they were, you know, moving around, preaching the gospel, and I'm not sure, sleeping at people's houses, sleeping in the open, No idea. No idea what was going on. But certainly there weren't, the gravy train wasn't going round. Okay, what about Paul and others? Paul, he had to work as a tent maker. He was a preacher. He was probably one of the most renowned preachers in the first century. And a lot of parts of the Bible have been written by him. The theology of the Bible was laid down by him. But he had to make tents. Yeah. The greatest theologian of all times, probably, other than Christ, he was making tents. He was a tent maker, working with his hands in a probably quite a difficult job. The Bible pretty much tells us that he was suffering with his eyesight and maybe difficult as well if he was a tent maker. Okay, we are not sure whether he did it, you know, throughout his ministry or just at some stages in his ministry, but certainly he, most part of his ministry, he seems to have been locked up and living in a prison cell. There's no wealth transfer taking place there. He had to get relatives to bring him food and so on. Okay, let's carry on and look at other people as well. So most of the people, Hebrews 11, I challenge you to read through that, about the heroes of faith, where they've been mistreated, ill-treated, you know, they run around in sheepskins, they were in the desert, they were hungry, and all it says is the world wasn't worthy of theirs. When they were waiting, they were hoping for a better place, for the one to come. This is what we find in Hebrews. Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith, where it talks about them. Check it out. And again, from Matthew to Revelation, there's nothing about wealth transfers. Our wealth is not here on earth. Our wealth is in heaven. Whatever wealth we have is meant for the good of the kingdom of God, obviously, to sustain ourselves, to sustain our family, to make sure we can live in dignity, to make sure that those who depend on us can live in dignity as well. And that's really all, no more, no less. Now, this guy was talking a lot about credit cards and debt cancellation and things like that. Let me just sort of follow it all up and you know, come to really what should we do about finance, especially if we end up in debt. My first suggestion to you is, and it's very easy said, but you know, so easy to slip into it, is if you can, stay out of debt. Try and manage your finance. You know, whatever you spend needs to be less than what you take in a month. And if you don't take in enough, then fair enough, you know, go and look for a better job. But the most important thing is just pray about it. You know, having a better job that pays more is not necessarily the best thing, because you might be working too many hours and you might not find the time to spend with God and do the things God wants you to do. So number one is really pray about your finance, pray about your situation, pray about your spending as well, and seek the face of God to really do what you should be doing. That's number one. The next thing to do is, if you are in debt, obviously pray about it. Try to get rid of it if you can. Possibly readjust your lifestyle to produce an excess so that you can not just repay the interest, but that you can repay the debt as well. The credit card system, I think, is very Babylonian these days. Some of the interest is just excessive. And we need to get out of the system, if at all possible. You know, just leave it for emergencies, if that. But ideally, get out of it. It's so easily accrued, so hard to get rid of. Yeah. Bit like sin. But we need to sort of try and get rid of it. We need to adjust our lives to do this. But our focus shouldn't be on finance. Our focus should be on God. Our focus shouldn't be on the wealth transfer and to believe in it. Our focus should be in walking in the ways God wants us to walk, not to indulge ourselves and not to pursue a lifestyle of indulgence, which can lead us into a lot of debt and into a lot of problems, but instead to try and avoid it and to just, live the best way we can possibly live, and to live with a living God under his guidance on an everyday basis, on an everyday level. Will you be richer being a Christian? The answer probably is yes, because most Christians, if you walk with God, will change their lifestyles, will change their interests, will change addictions, maybe, you know, they will go and that will release a lot of money. In general, what you will find if somebody comes to Christ, and there is God's blessing in their lives, that things will change. And a few years down the line, 5, 10 years down the line, people tend to be more prosperous than people who don't know God and who don't want to know Him. And that sometimes opportunities cannot be realized because there isn't the divine spark, the divine input. So I'm not doubting that, and I'm not saying that, but that's not the basis of our faith. That's not what we are aiming for and what we are striving for. We are not praying for riches, but we are praying to be made and turn into the image of Christ, to be more Christ-like in our lives, to be more holy, to be less sinful, to abstain from sin and to embark on a walk of holiness. We are keen to preach the gospel to the ends of the world, to follow the Great Commission, to do the works God wants us to do, and He has prepared in advance for us so that we can walk right in them and do them without murmuring and complaints, but just focus on the things God wants us to do. So my friends, when you hear these wealth preachers, when you hear these wealth transfer people, that the great transfer is going to happen. And again, these guys, it's another subject as well. They're talking about the great revival to come. Read your Bible. The Bible talks about the latter days, and it talks about apostasy. It talks about people who preach stuff to you to tickle your ears. It talks about false doctrine. It talks about deceivers, false prophets. It warns you about everything. It says that that even the elect would be deceived if it were possible. You know, this is the kind of life, this is the kind of stage we are in. We are right in the end times, and all we have is like guys talking about wealth transfer and, you know, the great revival. And I'm just going to make one statement about the great revival. There were a lot of revivals in the last couple of decades which weren't really revivals. All there were just hyped up gatherings. Nobody was getting healed. There was no repentance. People didn't fall on their knees because they sensed the presence of God and they couldn't stand their sin and they were seeking God for redemption. There was nothing like that taking place. All it was just a hype of alleged healings and weird theology and weird manifestations. But there wasn't much going on, what you would expect at a revival, where people recognize the living God, and where they get freaked out because of the fear of God in their lives, and where they're begging for mercy to have redemption for their sins, and where sinners will turn to saints, and where people will walk out of those meetings with great smiles, not because of, you know, some hype or whatever, but because their sins have been forgiven and they know it, where true transformation takes place. What do we get? We get revivals where the leader is cheating on his wife whilst the revival is going on and, you know, lives in adultery and just total mad stuff where the worst story I heard is where he was just kicking people and in one instance he kicked one guy and his teeth flew out. That's the story I heard. Just horrendous stuff and people call it revival where some of the theology which comes out there is totally foreign to the Bible. Okay, guys, be on your guard. This is a Christian war room. You need to make sure that we keep on the right side, that we keep in the Word of God, and that we seek God with all of our hearts, minds, and soul. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to pray, Father, for our finances as well. We pray that You will come into our finances, that You will restore you know, healthy finance in our lives, Lord. That's what we pray for. We pray, Lord, that finance will not become a problem to us, that we will not focus on You, but Lord, help us in all of our lives to focus on You and to preach the gospel to the world until You come back. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.